I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey everyone, welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about Theodore Roosevelt.
So grab your cigar and black coffee.
And let's get civical. Hello, everyone.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I'm Lizzie Stewart.
So glad. And I am Arden Walentowski.
So glad. And today we're doing an episode that I distinctly remember in like our third ever episode. I talked about wanting to do an entire episode to dedicate it to this person. And now on episode 141, we have finally manifested it into fruition.
It only took us a couple years.
But don't you remember? I feel like I was saying it so often that I wanted to do a Teddy Roosevelt episode.
Yes, you love him.
I love him. I literally, my phone background is a picture of Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, what?
It's blurry. Hold on. Show it. Riding a moose across a river.
Oh my God, that's so crazy.
That's been my phone background for the longest time. It's just a picture of him riding a moose across the river. So we'll post that picture can enjoy.
That's amazing.
Because that's just the type of thing that he did back in the day.
Oh my God. We don't deserve him. We don't deserve him.
I feel such a kinship to Teddy Roosevelt, specifically because this is, I think I've told this fun fact probably 8 times on this show. So everybody get over it. But how he was so stressed about losing his glasses that he had them sewn into his uniform when he was like a Rough Rider.
I remember that fun fact because he couldn't see well. Aww.
And I can't see well.
I know.
So you see the similarities.
I guarantee you that were Teddy Roosevelt to get on a plane, it would for sure be delayed or canceled.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Trauma. But yeah, today we are talking about one of my favorite people in history, Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah.
And we're talking about it because it's his birthday coming up. So we thought, why not wish Theodore a happy, happy birthday by doing an entire episode about him?
Yep.
We haven't, I don't think we've done any other like presidential
biopics. I don't think so.
I
was trying to think if we did one on GW, but I don't think we've done, I don't think we've done any. Yeah.
No, we just talk about him all the time. This entire podcast is a biopic to George Washington.
Literally almost every episode I feel like we say something.
Yeah,
because especially when we were doing all of like when we do like the founding or like the early day episodes.
Oh yeah,
you know, that's, I mean,
yeah,
even the episode like, about the Capitol, we talked about George Washington because
oh
the Capitol
was all
originally
over that thing.
He was all over that thing. Yeah, originally,
yeah.
New York.
I think, listeners, if you want to hear a biopic about any of our presidents, let us know. This
yeah.
could be the first of many. There are currently 46. How many presidents have there been? 46, right?
Yeah. 46. And I feel like some of them I would really love to do because I know nothing about them.
Oh, for sure. Martin Van Buren. Who is he?
Who are you?
Who is he?
Former what did you
president
do?
Of the United States.
Yeah. And some of them I'm like, I don't really like, it just seems like a big task, like to do like an FDR.
Oh God.
Right. Like,
I mean,
like
it would
big...
have to, it would literally have to be like such an over, I mean, it's the same with George Washington, right? Where it has to be like such an overview episode because there's just too much to try to do everything that FDR did in a single episode, which is why I think we just talk about all of his like programs and individual episodes.
Yeah.
But I think like a personal life biopic would
be interesting. Oh, that would be fun. I would get
also,
down with
Eleanor,
that. Also, Eleanor. Yes.
Would
queen.
Be worth doing a full ep on her.
100%. 100%.
So all that to say, everybody, the sky is the limit. And by that, I mean the 46 is the limit of biopics we could do on presidents. Actually, no, because some people were twice, so it's even less.
It's even less. But also we could add in the wives, the significant
first
others.
Ladies,
and then that, the first ladies. That gets us there.
Yeah.
I would totally
Absolutely.
Do. I would do like a Lady Bird episode.
Sure. I mean, Abigail Adams, go off, honey.
Get your
Go
time.
Off. Mary
Get
Todd
your
Lincoln?
Time oh, yes.
Potentially crazy. We're not sure. History's not been kind to Mary Todd.
No. Oh, my God. Oh, I kind of want to know that story. We should do that.
Great. I love it. But with that said, today is all about Teddy Roosevelt. So sit back, relax, and Arden, tell us what the sources are today.
The sources today are coming from the Constitution Center. History.com.
Obviously.
Whitehouse.gov.
Sure.
And because it's Teddy Roosevelt, the National Park Service.
Obviously.
And the North Dakota, I don't know if this is like a department or just a website, but it's ndtourism.com. So like North Dakota tourism.
Sure. I mean, a bump in industry for North Dakota.
Uh-huh. 100%. Their only industry.
Their only industry is tourism. Shout out to North Dakota. You don't get enough kudos for being you.
For being you.
So let's start at the very beginning. A very good place
to start
with Teddy Roosevelt's early years. So as I said before, Teddy Roosevelt was born on October 27th, 1858 to Theodore Roosevelt Sr. and Martha Bullock Roosevelt. And they were a wealthy family in New York City. Love to see it.
Love to see
it. I think
you
can like visit his birth brownstone. It's like somewhere in Manhattan.
It is. It is. And I forget where it is, but I feel like I've passed it in my 17 years here a couple times and been like, yeah. Oh, interesting. Okay.
There she is. There she is.
There she is.
Known as Teddy, T-E-D-D-I-E, later Teddy, he was frail and sickly as a boy, mm-hmm. and he suffered from severe asthma. Oh, my God.
Oh, I know. He was not a well child.
Yeah. And to be fair, this is the mid-1800s. Everybody is sick and frail.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody is of robust health.
No.
In attempts to relieve his suffering, his parents provided young Teddy with the best treatments available, including giving him cigar smoke to inhale, black coffee to drink, and racing him down the New York City streets in the family buggy to force air into his lungs.
I
love it.
I love it. There's not a thing about that sentence that I don't love. Cigar smoke for a child? Absolutely. Black coffee? Absolutely.
Correct.
Put him in that buggy and race him. I love this idea that they're like, it'll get in there. It'll get
in. Yeah, it'll get in there. Just open your mouth.
Woo!
It's just wind. He just needs more wind in his mouth.
Didn't they have swings? I feel like that would have been the easier way than like running him.
It's not fast enough. I mean, you have to understand that like medicine is a really recent thing.
Seriously, this is what they were doing.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
my
I don't
God.
Blame them. I'm like, sure, that makes sense. You don't know much about the lungs. You know there's supposed to be air in them. So open up. Gobble, gobble.
I wonder what the, like, what the cigar smoke, what they thought it was doing. If they thought it was, like, making its lungs
like
bigger. Oh.
Because
oh.
if he has asthma, maybe they thought that it would, like, soothe his coughing or something.
Oh, sure,
I don't
yeah.
know. I'm not a cigar smoker myself.
I have
so
had,
I'm not sure what the fringe benefits are.
You know, I had a cigarette or a cigar this summer.
Oh,
I mean, like I didn't do, I mean, to have a whole one is like, I felt like
it's
I might
lot.
Die. It's a
yeah.
lot. So I like tried somebody's and I was like, I don't understand like why this is a thing. Like,
yeah.
yes, you can kind of taste the different flavors, but I was like, I'm going to be sick. And like,
yeah,
it was not. It's a long process.
Yeah, you really have to like work up to a full cigar.
Yeah, and it's not like a, I mean, you do kind of hold it. You don't like inhale it like a cigarette. You kind of hold it and then let it go. So maybe they thought like the holding of it would like expand his lungs. I don't know. I'm really grasping at straws. But like,
I don't know. We're grasping.
No, no, no. Interesting.
So he's inhaling cigar smoke. He's drinking black coffee. He's living his best life. He also, as a teenager, followed a program of gymnastics and weightlifting to build up his strength. Go off, Teddy. Go off.
Get it.
Gymnastics? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Roosevelt traveled wildly throughout his life. Not only did he travel extensively throughout the U.S., he would also take a family grand tour trip to Europe and a family trip down the Nile River before his 14th birthday. So these are like mega wealthy people.
Yeah, these are
if
like...
If you're traveling down the Nile, honey, you wealthy.
You wealthy. You got that good
you wealthy.
Money.
Mm-mm. Later in life, Teddy Roosevelt would become the first president to leave the country when he visited the Panama Canal. I remember this fact, where like
yeah.
no other president had ever left the country.
Right. And you're
isn't
like,
that crazy?
Isn't that but also, like, weren't we, like, going in the early days, again, to bring it back to George, weren't we going back and forth? Maybe that they hadn't as president.
It's while they were president.
President
they didn't
left.
Travel.
Got
but yeah,
it,
like
it.
Thomas Jefferson was in France for the majority of the Revolutionary War.
Right.
But when he was president, he didn't leave the country.
Right. Got it.
first, so I think that's sitting the president. Point.
That's the point. Yeah. Right, right, right. Yes, I do that recall is the that
point.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on to his adult years, upon graduating from Harvard College in 1880, Teddy Roosevelt married Alice Hathaway Lee and entered Columbia University Law School, though he dropped out only after 1 year to enter public service.
You and Teddy are, like, from the same alma mater.
Same. We are simpatico.
Yeah. Together, you and I make a Teddy Roosevelt.
It's true. It's true. I love your passion for him, my same alma mater. It's like we're Teddy together.
We are channeling him right now.
Yeah. Teddy was elected to the New York State Assembly at the age of 23.
I was literally having, like, weekly Taco Bells at the Union Square Taco Bell at the age of 23. Like, I was not being elected to the New York State Assembly at 23, that's for sure.
Oh, my God. That's hysterical. Yeah. I was probably just trying to get home on a Saturday night at, like, 4 a.m.
Yeah.
When I was 23. I mean, it's amazing I'm alive and he was elected to the New York State Assembly. And he served two terms there from 1882 to 84. Both his wife and his mother died on the same day in 1884. Dang. I mean, could you? I can't. I know. That's rough. And he then spent the next 2 years on a ranch that he owned in the Badlands of the Dakota Territory, where he hunted big game, drove cattle, and worked as a frontier sheriff.
Sure. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like a tragedy that massive. It's like, whatever you do to cope with that, I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
You go be a frontier sheriff.
Yeah.
You go to the Badlands. Like, what am I going to say?
That's what am I going to say?
No. Right. It's like,
what am I going to say? Crazy. Go run up and down the sidewalk? Get the air in your lungs? No.
Yeah.
Go to the Badlands. Upon returning to New York, he married his childhood sweetheart, Edith Kermit Caro. The couple would raise six children together, including Roosevelt's daughter from his first marriage.
Okay. A little bit of a happy ending.
He finds a new wife and has lots of children. In 1886, Roosevelt ran unsuccessfully for mayor of New York City.
Sure.
It's a hard gig to get, even back then.
Yeah.
In 1895, Roosevelt became the president of the New York City Board of Police Commissioners. And in 1897, William McKinley named him as Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Navy.
Interesting positions.
I know.
I get it, but it's such a weird jump to go from, like, a mayoral run. And then he's like, you know what? I'm going to actually head up the police.
Right.
Do that for a little bit. And then McKinley's like, have you heard of the Navy? Think you would love it.
Can I interest you in the secretary position?
A secretarial position in the U.S.
Coming from, like, the New York City, like, the commissioner of the Board of Police. Like, I don't understand how that translates, but great. You did it.
We'd love to see it.
Upon the outbreak of the Spanish-American War in 1898, Roosevelt left his post as Naval Secretary to become Colonel of the 1st U.S. Volunteer Cavalry, known as the Rough Riders.
Woo! fun story for me. About the Rough Riders. So in San Antonio, Texas, there is a hotel and there is attached to the hotel, like it's an old hotel, and there's a little bar that Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders used to drink at. And you can still, so they have like, I think a uniform of his there, but you also can still see the bullet holes because they used to just like, you know, shoot at the ceiling.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I know. So it's also a haunted hotel, so it has sort of a little bit of everything for everybody.
Oh,
but yeah, I've seen where Teddy Roosevelt potentially shot at the wall.
I want to go there.
Everybody go to San Antonio. Great city.
Love.
So let's talk about the road to the presidency, because right now we are a Rough Rider and somehow we're going to get from point A to point presidency. So let's figure out how we get there.
Point presidency.
The Republican political machine in New York threw their considerable support behind the returning war hero, helping Roosevelt defeat a popular Democratic candidate to win the governorship. Once elected, Roosevelt displayed his characteristic independence and unwillingness to buckle under the pressure of the party bosses. So he's running for governor of New York. Republicans throw their support behind him. He becomes governor of New York. And then he's like, I'm not going to listen to you guys.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm Teddy frickin' Roosevelt. In 1900, the leading New York Republican, Thomas C. Platt, conspired with the National Party boss, Mark Hanna, to get Roosevelt named as McKinley's running mate in order to keep him from running for a second term in the governor's office.
Like, New York always been shady.
We are shady as shit. And anybody who tries to say otherwise is lying.
Yeah.
But we're shady, shady. But I just love that they're like, we can't stand him. Let's send him to Washington.
Yeah. Let's get him out of our state. Let's make him vice president of the United States.
Vice president of the United States.
So funny.
Roosevelt campaigned vigorously for McKinley, traveling by train for more than 21,000 miles to speak in 24 states. And McKinley and Roosevelt won in a landslide over Democrats William Jennings Bryan and Adlai E. Stevenson. So, as we all know, McKinley did become president and Teddy Roosevelt did become vice president.
Yeah.
Then, of course, and we have an entire yummy, yummy episode on this event, on this full event. On September 6, 1901, a deranged anarchist named Leon Czolgosz shot McKinley at the Pan American Exposition in Buffalo, New York. McKinley died 8 days later, and Teddy Roosevelt was sworn in as the 26th president. Only 42 years old when he took office, he was the youngest president in the nation's history, and his youth and vigor immediately transformed the public image of the presidency. From the time of his first annual message to Congress in December of 1901, Roosevelt expressed the progressive belief that government should mediate between conflicting forces in order to stabilize the American society. So,
yes.
What a unique rise to the presidency.
So bizarre.
It's bizarre, first of all, how he became vice president.
Yeah.
And then, of course, obviously, it's always shocking when a president is assassinated.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Literally crazy. We're going to take a quick break for a little word from our sponsors.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Okay, so now he's President Teddy, President Teddy. And so we're going to talk a little bit about just his policy ideals. We all kind of know his like big thing was the forests, the national, preserving the national like parklands for the American people. Yeah. There's some other things too. So this is all coming from whitehouse.gov and the National Park Service. As president, Roosevelt held the ideal that the government should be the great arbiter of the conflicting economic forces in the nation, especially between capital and labor, guaranteeing justice to each and dispensing favors to no one. So he's like, we shouldn't have these like big corporations and yeah. like these little people who are like doing all of the work, these big corporations.
Yeah.
And disproportion and like getting proportionally like unequal representation in comparison to like the companies that they're working for.
Right. He would hate what's going on today.
He would hate it so much.
So much.
So much. Roosevelt emerged spectacularly. Thank you, whitehouse.gov, for your flowery language. He emerged spectacularly as a trust buster by forcing the dissolution of a great railroad combination in the Northwest. Other antitrust suits under the Sherman Act followed. So he's breaking up these big companies. You don't want that.
Breaking up the monopolies. They don't like them.
They don't like them. Roosevelt steered the United States more actively into world politics. He liked to quote a favorite proverb, speak softly and carry a big stick. So he's like, he's like the original kind of diplomat, you know, not making wars, but like having discussions and talking and being amicable and compromising and all of that.
Yep. Just talking at a very, you know, balanced volume. Yeah. It's like when I knew I really messed up and my mom would just look at me and say, have you lost your damn mind? And the calmness of her tone was always extremely unsettling.
Yes. Oh, yes. If my mother, like, the worst was when my mother didn't even speak. She just looked at me. And I was like,
oh my God, I'm going to die. I'm
going
to die
I'm going to die tonight. I'll send myself to my own room.
Sorry.
Aware of the strategic need for a shortcut between the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans, Roosevelt ensured the construction of the Panama Canal. Some of Theodore Roosevelt's most effective achievements were in conservation. He added enormously to the national forests in the West, reserved lands for public use, and fostered great irrigation projects. Yes, because we needed...
We love to see it.
We love to see it. Get the land watered. All great.
The Natural History Museum here in New York City has a really great... I mean, it's... it's all dedicated to Teddy Roosevelt, obviously, but there's, like, a little section where you can, like, see his journals and see, like, things that he did when he, like, was scoping out the natural resources, etc.
I love
so
that.
So, if you're in town, I love the Natural History Museum.
I do love it. It's an amazing museum. because they, I love, it's got like all these different sections. So like you can mm-hmm. find something that interests you. Like if you're into Teddy Roosevelt, great. If you like space, they got it. You want to see the dinosaurs? How about it? Yeah. It's so good. It's so good.
They got marine life too.
They got marine life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And of course the Hall of Gems.
Oh yeah. 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 So good.
So much cool stuff.
Back to the notes. So memories of hunting and ranching in the Badlands of the Dakota Territory greatly influenced President Theodore Roosevelt's conservation ethic. So after his wife and mother had died and he went out to the Dakotas, he had a grand old time and mm-hmm. he wanted to preserve that type of land and that feeling for all for America, for Americans. At a time when technological advances, booming industries, and growing human demand threatened destruction of vast stretches of the North American landscape, Roosevelt enacted policy to conserve natural resources and designated more than 230 million acres of public lands for enjoyment by all Americans. And thank you. Thank God. Like,
literally.
What if he had not done that?
We literally have parks. National parks because of this one human who made it policy.
Yes.
So let's talk about post-presidency, because obviously he was not president forever.
Aww.
As the 1908 election approached, Roosevelt prepared grudgingly to fulfill the campaign pledge he had made in 1904 not to seek another term, and threw his support behind Secretary of War William Howard Taft, who I also think is worth doing a full biopic about because pre-presidency Secretary of War, then he was president, then he was Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
We got to do it. Crazy. We got to do it.
Immediately after leaving office in early 1909, Roosevelt left for a 10-month African safari and a tour of Europe, where he enjoyed international acclaim. So he goes on tour.
He goes on tour. He does a post-presidency tour. Exactly what everybody wanted Obama to do, and Obama went golfing.
He went golfing. As you know what, whatever. Once you're post-presidency, live your life, honey.
Live your life.
Upon his return, Roosevelt found that President Taft had failed to follow through on the promised program of progressive reforms, instead siding with the more conservative wing of the Republican Party. So Teddy pissed.
Yeah, he mad.
He pissed.
He's so mad.
Incensed, Roosevelt campaigned against Taft for the Republican nomination in 1912. When that effort failed, he and his supporters bolted to form the Progressive Party, popularly known as the Bull Moose Party. It's known for that because Roosevelt had once referred to himself in a letter as being, quote, as strong as a bull moose.
So humble. So
it's
humble.
It's his little Patronus. The
bull moose. I love it. It's his little Patronus.
While campaigning in Milwaukee, Roosevelt was shot in the chest by a fanatic, but soon recovered. This is the worst.
I know.
I have to read.
I'm so sorry.
It is cosmically hilarious that my worst enemy came about because of one of my favorite presidents.
Yeah.
With the Republican Party split, Democrat Woodrow Wilson took the White House, winning 435 electoral votes to Roosevelt's 88. Taft, interestingly enough, only received 8. So Teddy ultimately was more popular than Taft.
Yeah.
But because they split, it created a vacuum in which Woodrow Wilson stepped into the fold.
Yeah.
And the rest, as they say, is history. So this is where I'm like, dang it, Teddy.
Damn it.
You know what you do.
No.
Yeah. Pretty tough. Because we are such a two-party system, and we were even back then.
Yeah.
That to split one of the major two parties,
yeah,
I would guess even today, would lead to the other party being more victorious.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that he still would have won even if, like, Taft hadn't ran, because the total there is still only 96 votes to 435. Yeah. But
I also think that, like, because they were split, people who
I think if I had to guess, if I had to put on my, you know, 1912 hat.
Oh, yeah.
I would say if I was even remotely moderate, I'd be like, this is a damn mess.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm gonna
for
go,
sure.
I'm going to go vote for this dude over here. He seems right. harmless enough. Mistake.
Or I'm not going to vote at all.
Or I'm not going to vote at all. So I think had Teddy been the proper, or even William Taft, right, had been the sole nominee, that they would have gotten certainly more than 96 votes. But I think the infighting probably looked bad on both of them.
It's so funny how that has not changed.
It has not changed.
So funny. And yet we continue to do that.
Here we are over 100 years later and it's not changed.
Not changed at all. So now we're going to sadly talk about Teddy Roosevelt's death, his passing.
Yeah.
Politically and physically active until the end, Roosevelt died of a pulmonary embolism in his sleep on January 6th, 1919 at his family home in Oyster Bay, New York, at the age of 60. 60. So young. So young.
It's 19. Honestly, it's 1919. All
it's true. It's true. Oh my God. He is buried in Young's Memorial Cemetery in Oyster Bay Cove. Teddy is remembered for his contributions to the conservation movement in the United States, which we mentioned before. And I would say aside from Night at the Museum, that is what most Americans like know and remember him for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the Bull Moose Party. I remember learning on because it was so, I mean, I know we did this in the early foundings where they would kind of switch party names or whatever, but there was usually just the two parties.
Yeah.
And he was, I think his thing of breaking off and just forming his own party as like an individual was very unique.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about my favorite thing in the world with my favorite person. Fun facts, fun facts, fun facts, fun facts, fun facts about Theodore Roosevelt. So fun fact number one, as a child, Roosevelt witnessed the Abraham Lincoln funeral procession. There is a photo of the young Roosevelt perched in a window watching the procession in New York City in April of 1865. Young Teddy Roosevelt and his brother were at his grandfather's mansion.
Oh, that's so nice.
Sure, like on for that. It's like the, you know, the original Macy's Day Parade. So that's that. But it is interesting because, you know.
Yeah.
I think of Abraham Lincoln as like way back in history Teddy Roosevelt much more closer to to me in history, which like obviously that's how time works, but you know what I mean, like the Civil War seems like a time I can't recognize, whereas Teddy Roosevelt I'm like, okay, I can like recognize some elements about that time versus now.
Agreed.
But they weren't that far apart, which is you know,
it's
wild.
Yeah.
Time is crazy. That's what I'm saying.
It's all relative, as Einstein would say.
Next fun fact. The fact that they share a last name isn't a coincidence because Theodore Roosevelt and Franklin Roosevelt were fifth cousins. Eleanor Roosevelt was Theodore's niece. And Uncle Theodore presented the bride at Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt's wedding. Isn't that crazy?
That's so nuts.
Because again, in my mind, they never met, or like Teddy was dead before FDR was conscious, which is not the case at all.
No,
I don't know why. I just always thought that it was just like they were, you know, his great 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 uncle or whatever.
Yeah.
Also, the relationships were a little too close for comfort for me. You know what I mean? Roosevelt was blind in one eye after a boxing injury in the White House. The president continued with his hobby of boxing well into his presidency. He suffered a detached retina in a bout in 1908, and he stopped fighting altogether. He just switched to jujitsu instead. He's like, okay, I can't box.
I'll do jujitsu. You're fine.
Which, like, hell yeah. Do jujitsu.
Yeah.
He brought jujitsu to the White House.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
This one... It's one that I've been curious about.
This is totally your own note for yourself.
But it like is much more sad. It's much sadder than I wanted it to be. It's so sad, this story. I was like, oh, great, the teddy bear. It's not fun.
Okay.
So what is the deal with the teddy bear? Because they are named after Theodore Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. While on a hunting trip as president, guides in Mississippi had arranged for Roosevelt to shoot an old bear that they had tied to a tree.
Oh my God.
I already just want to cry. Why would you do that? Yeah,
they couldn't just let it run free and like hunt like normal people?
He's old. Why do you have to tie it to a tree?
Yeah. Mm.
Roosevelt refused to shoot the bear on sporting grounds because it was probably too easy to get, like,
right.
Too easy to shoot tied to a tree.
I can shoot him while he's running. So.
Right. Instead, he had someone else shoot the bear. Great.
God. Daddy.
The first part of the incident became a newspaper cartoon, which then inspired a shopkeeper to sell stuffed bears with Roosevelt's permission, which is how we got teddy bears. Which is the most, like, it's the saddest, like, most grotesque story.
Yeah, you wanted it to be a little more like, yeah. Oh, he was such a conservationist and he didn't want to harm animals. And in actuality, he was like, I want to harm them, but make it harder.
Right. I have to earn my ability to
earn it.
Kill them.
I want to earn it.
Yeah. Okay, and we couldn't end on that morbid, horrible, sad fact. So the last fun fact is that the Theodore Roosevelt National Park is located in no other state than in North Dakota, his beloved North Dakota. It is 70,000 acres, has herds of buffalo, majestic wild horses, and a landscape that will take your breath away. Thank you for that, North Dakota tourism.
Hell yeah.
And it was established on November 10th, 1978.
Which is a little later than I would have guessed.
It's a little later than, I know.
Because I feel like this would be the first thing that you would do to honor Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
And this is, what, 50 years after his death? When did he die? 1912, 1918? Something like that?
1919.
It's a long time.
Yep.
After he died. You think this would be like, all right, 10-year anniversary, let's give Teddy a park.
Right.
But, you know, nobody asked me at the time.
It's really a shame. Somebody should have.
It's rude. But that is our episode on Teddy Roosevelt. I am just so happy. Yeah. So happy that we finally did it. We finally manifested a full episode on the Theodore Roosevelt himself.
So good.
And like I said at the top, if there are other presidents that you want to hear about or other biopics, first ladies, etc., please DM us and or email us at hello@letsgettypical.com. But in the meantime, we love you so, so much. And if you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. You can always rate us. You can always review us. And you can always subscribe to us. We love you so, so much. And we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.